rustige ritme van het hart, Sandpit, van het debuutalbum Doppelganger van Curve. De groep ontwikkelt haar geluid vanuit het niets. Veel vervormde toetsen en bassen klinken niet afzonderlijk, maar krijgen samen vorm. Dean Garcia uit zijn frustraties nou eenmaal graag op een frequentie van 3 kHz. Die vervormd verstorende frequentie die ook een groep als Einstürzende Neubauten graag gebruikt.
It's really strange. I mean, we don't really know what we're dealing with when it starts. You know what I mean? It's just a thing that evolves. We use a lot of distorted keyboards and distorted bass. You know, very extreme sounding things. That when you play them on their own don't really sound much, but when you mesh them with other things that are doing, you know, making ugly sounds, it tends to take on this whole shape, you know. I like those fierce, ugly 3K noises, you know. I really like them. Mm. Neubauten stuff, and I like all that sort of thing. It's quite violent. Mm. It allows me to air frustration.
Yeah, I mean, the sound is a very important part of the atmosphere that we build up, because to us, if we're working from a platform of atmosphere, you know, everything else is kind of dictated to by that atmosphere. So we concentrate on getting the right atmosphere for, you know, whatever we feel that day, because we do work moment to moment. And, you know, there seems to be this kind of thing that comes across and you know, that we don't really, you know, question why it's like that, because it's obviously something that is in our personality and our subconscious that is coming through, you know, and always retains this kind of intensity to the atmospheres that, you know, we deal with.
Aldus Tony Halliday. Alles bij Curve gebeurt op basis van sfeer, die verschilt van dag tot dag. De sfeer dicteert het geluid. De sfeer die bepaald wordt door het onderbewustzijn en leidt tot de intensiteit van de muziek van Curve. Een intensiteit die terug te vinden is bij Dean's en Tony's invloeden. De Beatles, Funkadelic, James Brown, The Young Marble Giants en Throwing Gristle zijn van de leeftijd van Dean. Voor Tony zijn het funk. Patti Smith, Susie en Debbie Harry.
There's a massive influence. I mean, between us we cover a lot of ground. I mean, like Beatles, you know, Funkadelic, James Brown. You know, lots and lots of things. Mary Jane, you know.
Don't forget the Marble Giants.
And the Young Marble Giants, yeah. And all those sort of things, you know. There's all those things, you know, that are in there that I've listened to for years and years, you know. There's just some way of making them a bit more ugly, something.
It's funny because Dean's background comes from very much, you know, like you're saying, like Parliament and Funkadelic and James Brown, and he's heavily influenced by all those kind of things, as well as, you know, T-Rex was the first gig that he ever went to see, and you know, the Stonesy kind of things. And I was brought up on, you know, heavy duty punk. I mean, I was like 11 years old and punk hit, and it was just like, there we go, and this is it, this is the greatest musical thing that's ever going to happen. It was like, you know, for a lot of people my age and at that time, it was like the 60s all over again. And because suddenly there was this music that was just so specifically for them, you know. And I never really got into the, you know, the punk kind of scene, because I was always, well, I suppose I did really, because I was really into Patti Smith and I was really into Susie, you know. But then I really loved Debbie Harry, and she did all these like breathy kind of things, and you know.
Van James Brown tot Debbie Harry, hoe zichzelf ze ook allemaal waren, rock and roll blijft een kwestie van image. Curve was zich daarvan in het begin nauwelijks bewust. De groep trad op en deed fotosessies in haar dagelijks tenue. Tegenwoordig weet ze beter en gebruikt graag het uiterlijk van Tony en de tegenstelling met Dean. Al wisselt ze veel van image om er niet in gevangen te raken, om zichzelf te kunnen blijven.
Obviously, we just try and change it all the time. You know, people's perceptions, really, and keep it as an ongoing thing, really. Because when we first started up, we didn't really realize there was any kind of particular image. Because, you know, when we do photo sessions or videos or anything like that, or gigs, we just go on stage in the clothes. We don't have like stage clothes or stylists or anything like this, you know. We just do the things that we, you know, do. We just literally turn up, take our jacket off, photo session, there you go, or video, or, you know. So we never thought consciously really about an image, but it seems to have come across, obviously, I think mainly because of the way that we kind of look, really, the fact that we're so different looking and quite opposite, that it's come across in this quite strong, direct kind of way. But you know, it was never really a conscious thing to have an image. In fact, we were very anti it because we didn't want to get locked in to it just being an image.
It becomes very schizophrenic, I think. You know, you end up walking around, you know, in your stage clothes and then your ordinary clothes and then your ordinary person and then your stage person. You know what I mean? It gets very, very confusing and schizophrenic, and I just want to avoid that at all costs, you know. I just want to be me.